Okay. Countdown. It's tough. It's hard.
Final countdown. Yeah, and then okay. That song will be stuck now in your head for the next few weeks.
Well, that's important. Need to have songs stuck in my head as much as possible, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, the brains would just leak out all over the place.
Does not have brains leaking out all over.
No?
Yeah, no. I don't think it's a good idea to have the brains leaking all over the place.
I guess. Shall we go?
Yes.
Here it comes. The thing. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, July 26th, 2025. It's 2:30 UTC as we're starting to record. I'm Sam Mentor, Yvonne Bowes here. Hello, Yvonne.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Are we doing okay? Everything good?
It's getting better. It's doing okay. Yeah. It's been a week. It's been a week for me. Bunch of
it's
stuff.
It's been a week. You had stuff.
I had stuff, and maybe
I have not heard updates on the stuff.
You have not?
No.
Okay.
Not.
Well, I guess instead of doing
media
this week, I'll do updates on my stuff.
You shared your frustration. You shared your, I think it rose to a level of anger. You also did not appreciate me not agreeing completely with your assessment of the situation.
So for those folks not on the Slack, I should explain what the hell you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, you should. Yes.
Well, there were two major events in my life this week that I will discuss. And I will do this instead of media this week.
I know the media is going to fall behind, but yeah.
The media is, you know, if we had done media, I'll give you the preview for next week. There would have been two movies. The African Queen from 1951 and Jurassic Park 3 from 2001.
Three. You know, I think I stopped. I'm pretty sure I stopped at two. And I don't even think I watched two entirely. I think that two was one of those movies that I watched pieces of. Back when linear TV was it, and I had all the movie channels, and the movie channels work where they repeated these movies, you know, all the time at many hours of the day. So I'm sure that I flipped through and like watched pieces of Jurassic Park 2,
mm-hmm.
but I was they never grabbed me enough to say, hey, let me DVR this thing and watch the whole thing or something like that, right?
Since I'm giving you a 1 week heads up, you have time to watch both The African Queen and Jurassic Park 3 before next week. But also, if I'm saying
I have to say you have another assignment. Yes, I have another assignment, which is more critical, which is to try to watch Superman.
The new one.
The new one. Now, I'm going to try to see how I get this done. Maybe it's playing in the Dominican Republic. Because I am going to be in the Dominican Republic almost the entire week. And I know,
here's the thing. It would be cool. Watch it in Spanish. Spanish dubbed Superman.
I gotta see if that's a lot of these movies now.
English with subtitles?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually,
that's probably actually better. But
yeah. You know, so I don't know. That may be dubbed. Look, I've been to see movies like in foreign countries. Like I still remember this, you know, like in Spain. In Spain, Spain had very tough laws related language and movies. They basically almost everything in Hollywood that had to be shown on a big screen. It was very rare to be able to find any edition only with subtitles. They were all dubbed at the movie theaters. I don't know. That was like, I don't know if they've lightened on that, but it used to be very difficult. And there was a lot of like, you know, they really promoted the local Spanish film industry, which they actually made a whole bunch of pretty decent films. But I don't know. I'm going to see. I don't know. It would be interesting. I go see it, then it's dubbed. That would be, I got to admit, yeah, that would be something. I haven't watched a dubbed movie in a long time.
So, back to the thing. We said we weren't going to talk about the media this week.
Right.
So, I did want to mention that the reason you have the assignment for Superman is our loyal listener, Pete, who has hosted the show once, wants to come on and talk to us about Superman.
Superman, I know. So,
he wants both of us to have seen it, so the three of us.
I know. And
can
what happened is, look, I was going to get this done. I was going to go see the movie, but I wound up getting sick. So I thought my wife was going to wait to go watch the movie. But as I slept, I didn't realize they went to the theater and watched the movie without me, which I understand. I was out. I was not well. You know, I said, look, we're going to go to a movie. You know, I said, look, we'll just go to the movies. I think she went and said, hey, you okay if we go do something? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm okay. Just lie here.
Okay. So, to the first of my two stories. So, first of all, you have misidentified my emotions. I never actually rose to the level of anger. I suppressed it well. I complained to you guys on the Slack.
You were upset.
But I was upset. I was more sad than angry, though. I was sad and...
I said maybe angry. And annoyed. I don't know. I
was annoyed. I was annoyed and I was sad, but I never actually got angry. So what happened? The bottom line, and we can get into the details of what I did wrong, because in part of why I wasn't angry, let me rephrase. I was angry at myself. I was not angry at others. Okay. And
this is because
I was angry at myself. I was sad. I was annoyed. But I was not angry at others. And so, and to those listening who have no idea because they're not on the Slack, this is going to be very confusing up to this point. But the bottom line, if you remember a couple weeks ago, it was like 3 weeks ago now, maybe four almost. It was three and a half. It was July 5th I bought the damn car. I bought a new car on July 5th.
Well, he had to because the other car, I think we did tell the story.
We spent a whole episode on it practically.
Yeah, your other car died a spectacular, it died a spectacular death.
Yes. So anyway.
Same cars, for some reason, have a tendency to do during his life. He has a tendency to, for a flair for the nailment of the vehicle is always it happens. In a very dramatic fashion.
I haven't yet done one of the things where one goes flying off the cliff and then hits on the bottom and explodes.
I would like that one not to happen, you know?
Well, I don't have to be in it.
Fair. You can jump out, yes, at the last, you know, okay.
Jump out at the last minute and...
Yeah.
None of my cars have had sunroofs, but get one with a sunroof and then... You know, parachute out the top while it's going down the hill.
I thought the Saturn had a sunroof.
No.
No? Okay.
Oh, you know, the Corolla might have. Before the Saturn.
Yeah, one of those two.
I only had the Corolla for a few months.
But... Right, because the Corolla went out in a spectacular fashion as well.
It was a multi-car collision that I was in the middle of. I was sandwiched.
Yes.
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 Anyway, the point of all this... The point of all this is my daughter was pulling out of our driveway and hit the corner of my brand new car.
You know what? To be fair, okay? Yeah. To be full disclosure.
Let's be fair, because I will explain more of the scenario, but
you
go ahead.
To be fair, you know, you talk about that, and you know, oh my God, you know, like, it didn't happen. Look, my brother, one time at our house, okay? It wasn't that old. It must have been maybe a year old, two years old Mercedes. Okay. A very nice Mercedes that dad bought. Okay. Mm-hmm. He came in thundering in his Isuzu Trooper SUV, which had very poor rear visibility because back then these cars, no, obviously no rear camera. But the one thing is they kept mounting the spare tires in the back.
Oh, yes.
You mounting the spare tire in the back, limited rear visibility in a ridiculous way. Okay. My brother comes in, thunders into the house. He had to drop something at my parents' house. The car was parked off to the side. And when he went to back up, he backed up real quick, not looking, and completely broadsided the pretty new Mercedes. Okay. All right. So he hit his car and he broadsided the car. Okay. All right. So if we've had, I had my brother's son go visit his in-laws, and they left the 2-year-old inside this Mercedes, and he popped the car out of gear on a hill, and it went down a hill and hit a Porsche and a Corvette at the bottom of the hill. The kid was 2 years old, and he managed to wreck 3 cars at once. So.
Precocious.
Yes. Amy's hit, in the scheme of things. I saw the video. Sam shared the video. I saw what happened. You know, it was a tight fit.
It was a tight fit. Let me describe for a little bit the configuration here. We have what's called a flag lot for our house, which means there's a long driveway, and then it's sort of, well, long in the scheme of things.
It is a relatively long driveway for most modern.
It's like what you've been here. It's like 50 feet or something.
Yeah, it's a long driveway. Yeah, it's a long driveway.
I mean, it's not like half a mile or something, but
it's not half a mile, but it's a long driveway. You're not right off the street.
We are back from the street. We are one of the houses that was sort of squeezed in on the last remaining space of the development after everything else was built. So there's this driveway that goes behind the other houses to where we are. Okay. And it's actually one of
secluded.
It's one of the reasons we liked this house is it wasn't directly on the street, right? So anyway, long driveway, and then it expands out. So we've got a 2-car garage there, and then there's actually a space next to it that's enough. Like if everything was clear and we didn't have anything going on, you could comfortably fit 3 cars there, and you could squeeze 4 in. If there was nothing there, okay?
There's nothing.
Of course, we've got plenty of crap there, okay?
There's junk all over the place. I don't know what it is. Well, I say junk. I mean,
Well, I'm not even getting to the stuff that you see on the video first. There's the other stuff that makes us park as tight as we do. So, first of all, Brandy has this old, like, what is it, a 1985 Buick Riata. That she's dragged, it was her first car ever that she got as a teenager. We're in our 50s now, okay? She's dragged this car around ever since, okay? It has not moved under its own power in over 15 years.
Obviously, that car will not start, right?
So the last time we tried to start it, it did. It just needs like a jump start, okay? And it'll go. For a very short amount of time. It's been 15 years. It may have more problems now than it did last time we tried, okay?
It's not wine. It didn't improve with age. I got to guarantee you that.
Right. So, like, it's just been sitting in our driveway for 15 years with a car cover over it, right? Now, but last time we tried to actually move it under its own power, I figured out why it was draining the battery almost instantly every time. It had one of these old
alarm systems.
No. Do you remember the retractable radio antennas?
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, the
that
little
when you
one.
Turn on.
The motor was stuck, so it kept
the
running.
Motor was stuck on the
antenna.
Well,
that's an easy fix, actually. You just popped up, pulled a fuse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, what was happening was every time the car turned on, the stupid antenna would just go, and it would just stay, and it would completely drain the battery, no matter what else you did.
Eventually it'll drain the battery, sure.
Because it would keep trying to retract the damn thing after you turned off the car.
Those things are prone to break, yeah. Okay.
So it would keep going. Anyway, so It hasn't moved under its own power in 15 years. The last time it came home, it was towed home. Okay. And because it had actually, it's a long story. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was towed home the last time it came home. And the tow truck driver couldn't get it all that close to the edge of the driveway. So it's basically taking up what a space and a half of what it should. There's like between it and the edge of the driveway, there's like 6 feet. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like it could have been over further, which would make it far more comfortable for the other two cars that are there. Now, we actually have 3 cars right now that are actually like moving. So it'd be nice if that thing wasn't there and we had 3 others. Now, there is a place we could have put that car that's further back next to our house, but we filled that with a giant storage container because we've completely filled both our garage and our house with junk. So we've got this storage container that we pay like a couple $100 a month to have there. Plus we have a full garage, plus we have a full house. So we couldn't put the car where the storage container is. So the red car was there. And I've been telling Brandy for the entire, like the last time it was put there was, I don't know, 10 years ago. No, not even. It was only 6 years or so. Like the last time it moved under its own power was 15 years. But I told you the story was complicated. It left and came back not under its own power at one point. But anyway, I've been telling her ever since it was parked there, we should pop the sucker into neutral and push it out and back so that we can move it 6 feet over and make a lot more room for the other cars.
That would be a great idea. Yeah.
But we've never done that. We've never done that. In part because she's like, you know, if we're going to do that, she says something with Riatas, you can't just pop them into neutral. I don't know. Like she wanted to actually start the car again. I don't know if she's right or not, but it's probably nothing. I may be even misremembering it. But anyway, there was always an excuse for why we weren't going
to. It's a 1980s Riata. I mean,
they only made the cars for 3 years. So
yeah, like, but they're not, you know, that I recall, they don't have like one of these like newfangled like electronic pictures.
Oh, no. Well, the Riatas had a bunch of like electronic crap that was ahead of their time.
Yeah. Yes, it did. Especially on the dashboard. Yeah. That. But the transmission, as far as I remember, and the engine, they were pretty much normal, standard, substandard GM stuff of that era. You know, any transmissions, even from. You know, now you've got all these like cars with like push button transmissions and other stuff, okay? Which are a standard modern thing right now. You know, you get these things where you got buttons, levers, and whatever that send electronic signals. But you know, nobody, not even Mercedes, like any of those, they were, you know, they were back then. They were still just a little, you know, lever mechanically actuating something. They, you know, that was
right. So anyway, bottom line, there was always an excuse for why we didn't move it over. So the remaining space in the driveway was less than it was anyway. But it's been that way almost the entire time we've lived here. And now at this point, by the way, the 6 feet that I mentioned that are there, we've of course filled that with crap, you know, at the moment. You know, there's like stuff that is destined for the dump but hasn't gone there yet and stuff like that. And you know, like we've got all kinds of old stuff that, you know, Brandy and I are ready to get rid of, but we need to do it in a sneaky way because Alex is going to get upset if we get rid of it. There's stuff that nobody wants, but is too bulky to like put in the trash bin. So we have to figure out the right way to get rid of it. You know, all this kind of crap, right? So, and of course, that's been there forever too. You know, so. Yvonne's making all kinds of faces.
I would like to strap like the storage thing and whatever on top of a rocket and just launch it into the sun while you guys are sleeping and then have you mad at me for a year or something, whatever. You know, I don't care.
You know, that's probably where the Curmudgeon's Corner tapes are from college. Okay. But, and see, here's the, That's the problem with all this stuff, is it's 75% trash, but the trash is all mixed in with the 25% that's not. And so you have to actually go through each item one by one to like see what's going on. Anyway.
All right.
But and I'm ready to get rid of 75% of it. But anyway, the point is, so there was constrained space for that. But you know, the entire, it's been like that almost the entire time we've lived here. We've parked two cars there in the front. Usually my wife parks in the spot that's closest to straight ahead from the driveway, and I park in the one that's closest to the house. The one that's closest to the house requires you to sort of shimmy to the right and around because, you know, like I said, it's the narrow driveway and then it expands out. And when I say it expands out, there's like bushes and stuff. Okay. There's actually rocks at one point, but like for the rocks are further back. Mainly what you have to worry is about is the bushes. I've only actually scraped a rock once, you know, but Yvonne's making more faces. Anyway, so what's happened though, the last month or two is my wife was gone for a while, like on various trips, and had parked her car at the airport. So the other two spaces were open. And when I was at work, both spaces were open. My daughter has, you know, an old Pontiac Aztec. And so she is preparing to go to the East Coast to live at least a year with her grandmother. Okay. And so she wanted to load up the car with all her stuff. Yes, she's driving cross country in an ancient Pontiac Aztec too. So, you know, there are all kinds of things that could go wrong there, but that'll probably be a different story for a different day. More faces for me, Vaughn. So anyway, she backed her car up to the garage so she could easily load her stuff into the back of the car from the garage. And so her car had basically been there for most of the last month. So when I got my new car, for the first few days, I did not park there at all because I was like, that space is kind of tight between where she parked and the Riata. And I was like, yeah, so I parked on the street a lot. And then finally, I was like, I want to actually try charging my car at home. I want to park in the garage, not in the garage. That would be impossible. It's full. But I want to park in the driveway in front of the garage. And so I actually tried going in. The first time I did it, I got in there. And then I was like, you know, that's a little too close to her. I'm not going to do that. So I backed out because I was like thinking it's a little tight.
It's tight.
And the second time, though, I was like, screw it. I'm going to try. Okay, so I got in there. I got as close to the Riata as I possibly could. And I also scooched forward as close as I could to the actual garage. And, you know, I was close enough to the Riata so that, like, I was squeezing out of the car door to get out. Okay. And then I, you know, I got the charger going and I plugged it in and all this kind of stuff and it worked. And so I did this for several days in a row without incident. Okay. And so I'm like, oh, okay, this is going well. It works. It's no problem. In my head, she was leaving and coming back most days. But I don't think she actually was.
She actually didn't, huh?
No, I don't think she had. I think she'd been there the entire time, had not moved. Because also, oh, by the way she'd backed in gave even less space than there sometimes otherwise would have been. Okay. Because she wasn't like hugging up against the house or anything either. And when she had backed in, I hadn't been there. So like, anyway, but when I parked each time, I sort of got out, I looked, I assessed the situation, and I was like, oh, there's room to get out. You can get out. The instant where this happened, two things were different than most of the other times. One, I wasn't always charging. This time I was charging. So you not only had my car, you had the charger.
You got the cable sticking out.
Yeah, you have the cable sticking out. And it was on the side towards her car. And two, and this was my fatal flaw above all else. I like I was getting really excited. The new car has the little like warning indicator on how close you are to what you're about to park, yes, in front of. And it sort of has a yellow and then a red.
Red
when you're really close, yellow when you're like at a normal distance. I stopped at the yellow instead of pushing all the way up to the red. That probably made 6 inches of difference, maybe even a foot of difference.
Yeah.
And that would have been all she would have needed to easily miss. Okay. And I was like, yellow's good enough. There's been no problem. I've been parking here for days now. You know, there's been yellow. And then I got out, I looked, it looked fine. It looked like there was plenty of space. And also, of course, in my head, I'm thinking, if she has any sort of problem, if it's too tight for her, she'll call me and I'll just move it.
Right.
You know, because I'm not thinking like
she might be overly confident or not really gauge it. It was
very tight. Like I looked.
I will say this: if it were me,
let me add one more thing that I did not take into account. My wife moved a bunch of flower pots into the driveway on the other side that probably took another 6 inches off the available space on her left. I was parked on her right. There's another 6 inches taken away on the left. And so anyway, sorry. I'll tell the rest of the story. Say what you were going to say about your own.
All I was going to say is that I've had these situations where, like, my wife has been concerned about being too tight, getting the car into, say, our garage. So I know my wife, especially knowing it was a new car, she would have been like, immediately, I'm like, oh shit, I'm not chancing this. I'm like, let me call up. But, you know, I'm going to guess that she was just a little bit more like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, well, I feel confident that, let alone, like, yeah, you know, I've said on the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, well, first of all, I should have moved forward a couple inches, given her a little bit more room. But I've said, you know, I was like, I'm confident I could have made it. Now, I might be full of shit, you know, but I was like, I'm confident I could have made it. But honestly, I'm confident she would have made it if I had so much as said, be careful of my car when you leave. That's all it would have
taken. She would have probably given it more thought. I think it's probably one of those things that, she, you know what? Different configuration, get different car. I'll get out. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, what she said is she didn't realize the charger was there first. And that gave extra space. Like at first, so when she
you know,
actually pulled out.
That one I could understand.
She pulled out, she hit the charger cable. Mm-hmm. And then at first she thought she'd only hit the charger cable, right? But if you look at the marks on the car, it's clear she hit the actual
car
front bumper
well.
Of the car too. But she thought what had happened is she'd hung up on the charger and it had bent and scraped against the rest of the car. And, you know, of course, you see, like, once she hit, there's, like, some back and forth to try to get out of it. You know, if you look at and the video wasn't at a great angle. It's actually coincidental. Like, the one video that would have had a good angle, like, the motion detection didn't actually start until after the impact, which made the video from that one kind of useless. The video from the other one was a camera that we normally have pointed at our porch, but we had pointed at some other stuff for random reasons. We were watching some wildlife and stuff, you know, and so it just happened to be randomly positioned in a way that it caught sort of the edge of her car while this was happening. So you could see what was happening, but anyway, yeah. So in the end, it wasn't, there are two, first of all, the charger itself, one of the important things that's a smart thing with these chargers and other things, they are intentionally designed. So, like, if you drive away while they're still plugged in, they'll, like, snap off.
It snaps off. Yeah, okay.
Right? You know,
because the car is actually not, you know, like, I can't
No, I know. It won't even start to prevent you from. So let me further expound out. If someone hits the charger, like happened here, the tip is designed to break off.
To break off.
So that you don't damage the entire charger assembly. Right. You know? So the tip was sort of, it wasn't completely broken off, but it was all loose. Okay. When I got to look at it. So the actual charge cable for the trickle charger was clearly had damage. And then there were scrapes and bruises in the back right quadrant of the car. Okay. And look, I've told people, look, this is, if this had happened to my Subaru, I wouldn't have even noticed,
you notice it because it's a brand new car.
I notice it because it's a brand new car. Like on a 15-year-old car, it's got all kinds of bumps and bruises showing its history over the years. And at a certain point, you are even more major damage than that. You're it's not worth fixing.
Bottom line it now, okay? Is it damaged? Because listen, the bruises were minor. Okay, I will say.
Yes.
It seemed no damage to the charge port or any of that.
Well, let me put it this way. I have not had it yet looked at professionally. The charge port works fine.
Okay, so it works fine. So all you need is a new cable.
Well, I hammered the cable back together too. It works fine too.
Okay. You know.
Well, and I say hammer, but what I actually mean is I hit it against something.
All right. Okay.
And it's not back all the way. It's back almost all the way.
All right. I'm sorry. You know what? In the interest of electrical
not catching fire,
fucking get a new fucking cable.
Well, I was thinking I might get another one anyway, just so I can have them in multiple locations.
Okay, let's not use the cable that was damaged. Okay, because the next thing, look, I actually met this guy. There's a story if you look this up. You can search this in Google. There is a guy in North Carolina many years ago whose entire house went on fire because of an issue with a Chevy Bolt and the charging system. Okay, and this is an issue that these don't happen as much as they happen.
This is why they won't let them park Chevy Bolts in my parking garage at work. This is a
right, which that's
all. Still.
Yeah, but even though that's not
stupid,
an issue
yes.
anymore. Yeah, and this wasn't a Bolt with a B. It was the Bolt with a V.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry,
the
Bolt,
hybrid
Bolt.
Well, fucking
Bolt, whatever.
And so he had one of these, and it burned down his entire house. It burned all his possessions. Okay, and this was in the news. GM actually. Apparently the blame was somewhere in the middle of they had put one of these wall chargers that was made by Siemens and something with the battery. Listen, they could not ascertain the final fault. Bottom line is the GM actually paid for gave him a set of new cars because all his cars burnt to a crisp, and that's a do a very large settlement to recover that. But it took a long, he told me it was just the worst experience of his life because literally he lost all his possessions, everything.
Right.
The whole entire house went up in fire. And it was a very big, nice house that this guy had. And he fucking lost everything. He was just telling me how I had to go shop at Walmart for clothes and shit and stuff right away and stay at my relatives or whatever, because I didn't have anything.
So what you're saying is taking the little plastic piece that bent and just shoving it back into place probably isn't enough?
No. Could you please?
It's almost back in place, and it works.
Please get a new cable. Please. Please, 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 pretty please.
I'll think about it, Yvonne. So let me say, Brandy has the responsibility because I said I would probably not be in the emotionally right place to do it, of determining exactly what we need to or don't need to do with regard, since this is a lease, do we have to fix stuff?
Did you get the wear and tear thing?
Yeah, yeah. So that probably covered.
That is within the wear and tear. That's like, you don't have.
She is figuring that out. She's talking to her people. Here's the bottom line on my emotional state and everything else. I was really upset for like 24 to 48 hours. Okay, but then a wave of peace came over me.
Because
fundamentally, this released me. From having to worry about keeping it perfect.
Now you already put some damage into it. So I'm like, what the hell?
Exactly. Like for the first few weeks I had it, I was being super careful. I was thinking about it all the time. I was like, oh my God, like this, you know, I touched the wall and there's a stain where my finger touched it. I'm going to have to figure out how to clean it. Now I'm like, oh, what the hell? I don't care. The perfection has been broken, so now nothing matters. You know, now
okay. Do you remember that it's a lease? Okay, oh, yes. so you can't just treat it like.
Wait,
shit.
I was gonna say now the rats are welcome back in.
Yeah, no. Okay,
no.
What I will say is that a scrape like that, somebody, and actually, I think it happened. No, it didn't happen at this hotel. We were at a hotel in my wife's SUV many years ago, and somebody scraped the bumper in the parking garage. I got to the car and I'm like, "What the fuck?" Somebody, you know, pulling out of the garage went and scraped the bumper. Now I buffed it, and you could see that it had been damaged, but it wasn't a big deal. There wasn't a hole. There wasn't anything. It was just whatever. I returned the lease. As a matter of fact, when I returned the vehicle, now it was pretty much perfect in every other way except for that.
And they just counted it as normal wear and tear.
Yes.
Yeah. There's one little spot where it looks like instead of just a scrape, there's like a piece of metal that's like chipped or bent or something. But like it's one little tiny spot. For the most part, it's a few little scrapes. And, you know, I keep thinking, you may remember there's a bit in Cars 2. Do you remember this from the movie Cars 2?
Which part? Two. I just recently saw it, but no.
Mater is put up, is like in the plane. He's been recruited by the spies.
Yeah. I remember.
And they offer to fix his dents.
That's right.
And he says no, because the dents and scrapes are sort of his memories of a life well lived.
Yes.
And so I'm like, you know, it's time for that attitude. I was thinking like maybe it would be a few months before I had that attitude about this car, but you know, whatever, you know, it's time for the Mater attitude. It is now actually my car.
All right. Okay.
Like this is distinct from every other one of these cars on the road now.
Let's see. I understand about the, you know, we all are dents and bruises or whatever the marks, but it's not crazy on getting more stuff. Okay. All right. You don't need to be, you know, like a pockmark with every inch of with a dent.
Okay. Well, we
can still try to minimize them.
Well, you know, but at the same time, you know, I still look at it and I'm still a little annoyed, to be honest, like when I walk by it. But I'm trying very hard to, you know, for the most part, the wave of peace has indeed come over me. I've gotten over it. But even from the very beginning, right, I was like, it was an accident. It's not the worst thing in the world. I'm not going to get mad. You know, I'm sad. I'm upset. But I'm not going to get mad. I forgive
her.
I forgive me. Because again, like there's so many things I could have done to avoid it as well. So,
listen, cars get dents, and that kind of dent is something that actually a dent repair guy could come over and fix, actually, and probably nobody would notice. So, I as long as there's no other damage, you just need a new cable and like, yeah, you can get a dent guy to go and like, if you wanted to go do it, they actually come on site and they do it.
Yeah, like I said, I'm going to let Brandy take care of that entirely. I have outsourced that. She will decide what needs to be done.
All right. So aside from your vehicle, you also this week had something else happen.
Second story. And there is more to this that I have not yet told on the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack that looks bad for me.
Oh, God. Okay.
Anyway, so Tuesday morning, I leave for work. I drive to work. As I am driving to work, I'm like, my legs are really cold. I get to work. As I do when I get to work, I have an officially assigned seat, but I never sit there. So the first thing I do is go wander around, look for a place to sit that I like want to sit and do my work, because I find all the comfy places to sit. But as I'm doing so, I'm like, I am freezing. I am absolutely freezing.
And it's July, like, so it's not.
It's July. There is air conditioning in the building, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure they have not set the air conditioning to like 55 or something. Okay. I am absolutely freezing. And I realize pretty quickly, this feels like I have a fever. And I also like was just sort of starting to feel a little wobbly. So I'm like, this is not good. I was supposed to have a meeting with somebody in person coming up. First thing I did was I messaged them and said, hey, look, I feel like I'm starting to get sick. I'm going to schedule this as a video conference instead, and I'm going to find some conference room to talk to you just so I don't expose you to whatever it is. But I still had half an hour till the meeting. But so I was going to wait till after the meeting, but I was like, nah, I have time. There was a drugstore right across the way from my office. I went there. I bought a thermometer, a fever thermometer, and I bought a COVID test. So first thing I did.
I mean, you suspected COVID already at that moment.
Well, yeah, of course. Like what? High fever. I also had a bit of a cough. But honestly, I'd been nursing a bit of a cough for like a month. Like,
okay.
But it was just a low grade. And, you know, you and I have talked about like, I cough all the time. It's not all.
Yes, you do.
There's always something going on. Allergies.
And you're always hacking, coughing. That. I mean, it's like, I don't.
So like I pretty much dismissed the cough and wasn't paying attention to it, but I wasn't dismissing the fever because I felt like crap all of a sudden, like within the space of 2 hours, I went from feeling fine to feeling like I really wanted to lie down. Anyway, I got the new fever thermometer. I took my temperature, 102 right away. Like,
Jesus.
You know, I think the first time I took it, it was 101.9 or something, but then I took it again like 5 minutes later and it was 102.2. And so I'm like, crap. Then I took the COVID test. And I will mention at this point in the story, and I will come back to this later. Like, it wasn't like when I went to the store, they had a whole bunch of COVID tests on the shelf, but none of them were the brand that I usually used at home. So I was like, oh, what the hell? They're all different ones. I'll just get the cheapest one. I got the cheapest one, which was like the Walgreens store brand or whatever. And so when I took the test, it was a little bit different, you know, like the ones that the government was sending out and stuff had like a little cartridge, and you get the liquid and you dip your swab in the liquid, and then you put like three drops in the little hole, and then it comes out, and you know, whatever, and it has a nice little area that shows you your results, and it's all clearly labeled and stuff. This one had the little. You know, you put the swab into the liquid, but then it just had a test strip that you just drop in the liquid. Okay.
Okay.
And the instructions on the box, I'm showing the camera for those of you who are watching video. This is the box of the test. The very last step is read your results, and it's got a little thing, and it's got an arrow pointing at a line. So I'm like, okay. So it's not like the other ones. It's just if the blue line shows up, you're positive. So. Great. The blue line showed up. I'm like, so I'm positive. Okay. So I then immediately, like I finished the meeting I had with the guy. Then I immediately went about like, you know, telling the people at work, you know, hey, I got COVID. I'm going home. You know, I sort of gave a last couple pieces of information of something I was actively working on. And I tried to remember everybody who I'd seen in person the previous day and all that kind of stuff to let them know, hey, maybe you should get tested, all that kind of stuff. I'm going home. I went home. I did one more little thing for work and got yelled at by one of my coworkers for like, why the hell are you working? Go lie down or whatever.
Right.
And I'm like, don't worry. I'm about to. I just wanted to get that one last thing out because it was on my mind. And then I was at the point, like by the time I got home, I was like, I'm glad I didn't live any further from home and it wasn't rush hour when I was going home, because like, I did not want to be driving even that like half hour, let alone the hour and a half it sometimes is at rush hour, right? And so, you know, after that one email, I lay down, I went to sleep. Basically, I was out for 16 hours.
Jesus.
Okay. Now, it wasn't actually 16 hours. I was in bed for almost all of the 16 hours. I woke up a few times. I went to the bathroom, but like just going to the bathroom and stuff, I was dizzy. I was like, by the time I got back to the bed from the bathroom, I was like wiped out just by the effort of like getting up, going to the bathroom and coming back. And so I basically went back each time, like a couple times I was like, let me try to like do something a little bit more. I'm going to read or I'm going to do this. No, none of the times did it work at all. Basically, every time I gave up and went back to sleep. And so almost all of that 16 hours, I was asleep. Maybe 2 to 3 hours of it, I was in bed, but not asleep. But basically 16 hours in bed. When that was finally over, that was from like early Tuesday afternoon to Wednesday morning. When I finally woke up Wednesday morning, though, the fever was gone.
Well, there you go.
And I was feeling better already. Now, I was not feeling 100%, but I was already feeling a lot better. And I was like, huh, this is interesting. Wednesday, though, I was like, I'm not even opening anything work-related. I'm just doing my own stuff. I took it easy. I brought my laptop to bed and I did a handful of things on my laptop at bed, but I basically stayed isolated from the family and relaxed for Wednesday. But by the end of Wednesday, I was sort of like, okay, it's kind of clear that this is getting better fast. Like every hour felt better than the hour before. So I was like, Thursday, I'll work from home a little, you know, a partial day. Friday, I'll work from home completely. As it is Thursday, I got up, I did my own stuff. I was sort of still no fever. Like Wednesday, I had no fever. Thursday, I had no fever, but I still felt kind of icky. But like Thursday, I actually got to my desk in my office at work and I did a bunch of stuff at my desk and I ate a little bit more. And, you know, I think one time Alex wanted some food. So I went to like a McDonald's drive-thru for him or something. I wore the mask so that I wouldn't infect anybody at the McDonald's. But, you know, so I was a little bit more active Thursday. And theoretically, I thought I'd do my own things Thursday morning and then work Thursday afternoon. In actuality, I didn't log into work till like 3:30, 4 o'clock. And I just checked in and said, hey, I'm feeling better. I'll be working from home tomorrow and I'll be in the office Monday. And then right around the time that I was going to message them that on Thursday, I'm like, you know, and by the way, oh, I forgot to mention, the weekend before all this happened, my dad was in town. My stepmom was in town. My aunt was in town. And we all had dinner together.
Oh,
and,
nice.
You know, with my mom as well. So like,
Any of them get sick?
So wait, let me just say that. So I don't think any one of those people was under 80. Okay. Like, no, wait, maybe my aunt. I'm not sure how old she is. She's younger than my dad. My dad is the oldest sibling, so she might be. But, you know, so anyway, so 70s and 80s, you know. And so I'm all like worried about this. I've notified everybody I was in contact with, you know, be careful, take precautions. You might want to take a COVID test, all of that kind of stuff. They all said they were feeling fine so far. But anyway, when I was letting work, I know I'd be back because I had told myself I would start working from home, but I wouldn't go back into the office till I actually had a negative COVID test. And so then, so I took another COVID test on Thursday afternoon, but this time I used one of the ones I had at home that was the brand I'm familiar with.
Uh-huh. And?
Negative completely.
Okay.
And which I immediately struck me as odd because the other times I've had COVID or known other people to have COVID, it's even after they stop having symptoms, it takes a while for the rapid COVID tests to actually show a negative result.
Yeah.
Okay. Not like 2 days later. So I'm like, wait a second.
How long did you have COVID for then?
Well, here's the thing. I showed Yvonne the directions on the box of the COVID test.
Yeah.
We just have a little diagram that says wait for results with a little arrow pointing at a blue line. I had not opened the actual detailed instructions for the test, which I am now waving around, which showed that actually on this particular model, there is in fact both a control and treatment line, just like the fancier tests I'd used in the past. The box says nothing about that, but the detailed instructions say that for this particular COVID test, there is a second line that is pink that shows up if you're positive. So I was never COVID positive to begin with.
So you were sick, but it wasn't COVID.
Yes.
Maybe the flu. I mean,
you had something a couple weeks ago. I did not have the digestive stuff you had.
No. I had a cold virus, you know, thing. The digestive stuff happened to be coincidental. That was not.
Oh, and I got the Paxlovid prescription and everything. Like I started on Paxlovid. I have now stopped because it turns out it wasn't COVID. But
okay, so you had some other virus, obviously. I mean,
I feel dumb because I sort of notified everybody I had COVID. But even if I didn't have COVID, I obviously had something. They could have caught the something.
Well, listen. The one thing is, even if it wasn't COVID, what you had was bad. I mean, you had 102 fever. That's not a low fever. Okay.
Right.
So you know. Okay. So it wasn't COVID, but obviously you did come down with something.
Something.
And it was bad. And,
you know, I don't know. Maybe I was infected with something not contagious. Maybe I stepped on a nail and have typhus or tetanus or something. Maybe I have rabies. I did not pick up the bat like my mom did, but you know, I don't know. Maybe something bit me while I was asleep.
Maybe it's related to the car. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe something internal broke and it'll become more obvious again later. I don't know. Anyway, but also mercifully, it was really short. I mean, like I have a little bit of a sore throat still. I have a little bit of a cough. My head felt stuffy for a couple days, but the fever only lasted like 20 hours. It was less than a day.
Well, like it was bad. Because, yeah. I mean, you spent 16 hours sleeping straight. That's bad. You must have been feeling really bad. So, okay, but you're feeling better.
I'm feeling better. Like
nobody
I said,
else,
I still have
nobody else said you. Nobody else.
Nobody else got sick. At least nobody who's reported it back to me. Okay, yet.
And so this is good news.
Yeah. So it's good news. I mean, I still have a scratchy throat. My voice may sound a little bit weird. I don't know. I don't know if you noticed, but I feel like my voice is a little weird right now. But you know, but I'm basically feeling better. I still have a stuffy head, but also, you know, part of that, like because I was sick and not quite myself, I forgot to take my regular allergy meds too. So,
well, that doesn't help.
You know, so I need to go and take them and, you know, but anyway.
Okay. Well,
that's that. We've now spent a whole hour on me again.
I'm not going to talk about anything. Let's just take a break.
And then we'll talk news. We'll take a break and then we'll talk news.
All right.
Okay. Back after this, the randomly chosen break this time is this one that originally debuted in 2021. Here it is.
You're supposed to say do, do, do.
Do, do, do.
Alex Amzilla. Alex Amzilla is awesome. Its videos are fun. And today, once again, we have one of our most loyal subscribers here to tell you how awesome Alex Amzilla is.
I'd say on a rate from 1 to 10, Alex Amzilla is awesome at I don't know, 37, 82. He's pretty radical. His videos are phenomenal. They're full of creativity. And they're
so funny and exciting to watch.
Wow, what happened to your voice then, Amy? Was that Dad pretending to be you because the audio was distorted when it really wasn't because I told him to?
Yes!
Good job on remembering, Dad. Do, do, do!
Uh-huh. Okay. We are back. Back. Okay. I dominated that okay, first segment. You get to pick here.
Okay, so let's talk about...
Hold on. Lee. Inappropriate interference.
You're someone that's been staring at us recording a podcast and not looking very happy for quite a while when he was at the beginning of the show. But anyway, all right.
Oh, also, I should mention, while we were talking about the car, my daughter came in gesticulating wildly about it, and I actually, muted my microphone while Yvonne was talking so I could hear her for a little bit. Now, Yvonne was still talking. As it turned out, she started to say, you were talking about the car and blah, blah, blah. I just, blah, 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 blah. And I don't even remember everything she said when she walked in. But I should, if I'd known that she was going to talk about that, I should have just left the mic on and let her tell her side of the story.
Good point. Yes.
I didn't. And then she left. You know, she is preparing to leave. So I thought she was actually going to tell me that she was ready to drive away on her road trip to Pennsylvania. Okay. But no, she was just I guess, excited and interested that we were talking about the incident where she hit my car, and was maybe perhaps a little nervous about what I would say. I hope I was fair to her.
You were fair. You were very fair. Okay. You were very fair. I think,
It was, okay. So anyway, I dominated the first half. It's the rest is all you.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. What you shared earlier this week, these quotes from the Hunter Biden interview. Okay.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Now, I did not watch the full interview, but I've watched a whole bunch of clips.
I also have only seen clips.
Okay. Damn it. So neither of us have seen the whole interview. But I will say that from the clips that I watched, Hunter Biden sounds basically... If you had sat me in that chair and asked me about Joe Biden, he basically sounded almost exactly like me. If I read his words, if I took the transcript of what I heard of him saying, and I read it in my voice, you would believe I authored that stuff.
Okay, wait a second. We have to at this point insert. We're going to play the clip, the first clip I shared of Hunter Biden, because I think everybody here will instantly agree with what Yvonne just said and enjoy this clip from Hunter Biden. I just have to find it real quick. Scrolling. It's a couple of days ago now. Here we go. Okay, here it is. We will go play this video in full. Again, this is not the entire podcast he was on. Wait. This is 1 minute and... This is just under 2 minutes of Hunter Biden out of what I think was like a 1 hour podcast or something. I've seen a whole bunch of different clips of it. You got this clip. You've got another clip where he's actually going on at length between the difference between regular cocaine and crack cocaine and how they feel different and how you make them different and all kinds of stuff like that. So he talks about that stuff too. Like, this guy has a history. But anyway, here we go. This is the first clip I saw, and a lot of them have this feeling.
We sit here and we talk about the one guy the one guy because there's a clear legal path to being able to get him back. What about all those other people? Am I not supposed to feel for someone? Am I going to be like all these Democrats say, you have to talk about and realize that people are really upset about illegal immigration. Fuck you. How do you think your hotel room gets cleaned? How do you think you get food on your fucking table? Who do you think washes your dishes? Who do you think does your fucking garden? Who do you think is here by the fucking sheer fucking just grit and will that they figured out a way to get here because they thought that they could give themselves and their family a better chance? And he's somehow convinced all of us that these people are the fucking criminals? White men in America are 45 more times likely to commit a fucking violent crime than an immigrant. And the media says, well, you got David Axelrod and, you know, Rahm fucking Emanuel. So fucking smart, Rahm Emanuel. And said, we got to understand that these people are really mad. And we got to appeal to these white voters. Well, the only people that fucking appealed to those fucking white voters was Joe Biden at 81 years old. And he got 81 million votes. And he did because not because he appeased their fucking Trumpian sense, but because he challenged it. And he said, you can be an 81-year-old Catholic from fucking Scranton that doesn't understand it, but still has empathy for transgender people and immigrants. Then nobody said, oh, Joe Biden's going to turn us into a socialist state, no matter how much they said it. But these guys think that we need to run away from all values in order for us to lead. I say, fuck you. How are we getting those people back from fucking El Salvador? Because I'll tell you what, if I became president in 2 years from now, or 4 years from now, or 3 years from now, I would pick up the phone and call the fucking president of El Salvador and say, you either fucking send them back or I'm going to fucking invade. It's a fucking crime what they're doing.
Okay. That's one clip of a whole bunch of stuff. It sounded a lot like that. And, you know, it generated quite a little furor of people saying, I mean, what I posted on it is like, this is the kind of fucking energy we need. And yeah. Yes, you know, and look.
And, oh, by the way, it sounded, I'll say a couple of one thing. One is, I will say this, you know, Hunter cares about his debt.
Yeah.
Okay. Hunter really cares about his debt. And, you know, in trying to embarrass Joe, they actually like reproduce some messages that he left his son, where somehow it's supposed to be embarrassing because Joe is showing that he loves his son, even though he knows he's got a lot of flaws, you know, I mean, with flaws and all, he loves him. And so that's the first thing that came across to me. And the one thing is that, look, I'm not Joe Biden's son, but I'll tell you something. To me, Joe Biden is a person that I really appreciate very much. And he talked the same way that I got angry about people talking shit about him. There's another clip that was also talking about, hey, you know, ripping George Clooney for the bullshit letter. Yep. And all this shit that happened, like, you know, whatever. And you know what Hunter said is basically exactly what I said. Yeah, so Joe was getting old. Uh-huh. And the fuck is your point? He's still 10 times more competent than the idiot that we just voted into there. The hell has got anything to do with anything?
He also talked as well about how much he loved Kamala, how good a job she did, and how, like, she's like a member of the family, and they have all due respect for her, et cetera, and that she was put in a bad position. And right. All of these people who went after Joe, I think he went after Nancy Pelosi too, were like, you know, they undermined him and then they undermined her.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
they all did.
And he's like, because, you know, he's like, Nancy Pelosi and those folks, they didn't want Kamala Harris.
No,
they wanted it. Anybody else. He's like, I don't know what they wanted. They want some crazy open convention bullshit. But right. Like, you know, they didn't want her and they were not happy and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he said fuck quite a few more times.
And the other thing was that the one thing that he said also was that one difference is the Republicans, they just how they all fall in line to whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. And then we did exactly what all these people were doing against, you know, Joe and Kamala at a moment that we desperately needed people not to be doing that. you know?
Yeah. And the thing is, again, just with his reaction, though, his raw reaction. I mean, I joked under Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, AOC Hunter ticket for 2028. And look, it was a joke. You know, Hunter has lots of baggage. But
Hunter has lots of baggage.
A lot of baggage. You know, what I also said on the Slack, and I'm just going to read it right off the Slack since I brought that part of the Slack up anyway, was seriously, that kind of energy is what is needed, including the swearing sometimes. I'm getting more and more pissed off with the existing leadership and old guard folks. It is time for dozens of them to just get the hell out of the way. And no, it's not just the age, although that is part of it to be sure. But more than that, it's the energy and the attitude and the willingness to defend the right position no matter what, without preemptively compromising on anything where the polls are wishy-washy. Have a fucking moral position and defend it and convince others you are right and the other side is wrong and fucking fight and be fucking angry.
Yeah.
You know, and this is what the base is hankering for. This is what most Democrats are hankering for. And the leadership is still sort of in the mode, we're going to treat it as all normal politics. We'll talk about the economy and we'll talk about like policy X. And we're still going to work with the Republicans wherever we can and blah, blah, blah. And that is so frustrating at this point. And look, I understand the motivations. And in some cases, as you know, maybe at the local level, maybe at the state level, in some cases that makes sense, you know, because not all of the locals' things are as screwed up. But certainly at the national level, no, this is not your the world of politics from 50 years ago. Where, you know, the example people always bring up is Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill fight like hell and then go have drinks together.
Right.
That is gone.
That's gone.
And the where you like find all of these things you can work together on and blah, blah, blah. No, the Republican side went scorched earth starting when Obama won. I mean, they were already heading in that direction with Newt Gingrich and the Clinton administration, but they went all in when Obama won. And you can't react to this by doing everything with, we're going to be the grownups and we're going to follow the rules and we're going to do everything in the polite and civil way and we're going to go and we're going to shake their hands and blah, blah, blah. No, I'm sorry. The time for that is done. The time for that may come again at some point, but not while we have this Donald Trump-dominated Republican Party that is clearly got a massive authoritarian bent, is trying to take on all sorts of additional powers, has a Supreme Court behind them. So Supreme Court, Congress, the presidency, all moving in the direction of consolidating power and doing what I consider anyway to be damage everywhere they go. This is not the time for that kind of like polite reconciliation and stuff. No, this is the time to realize it's a life and death battle and treat it like that. And at the very least, be showing that anger. And I realize some of it is performative only. And it's like, well, what good will being angry do? Well, you know, look, when you're in a situation where you don't have any of the levers of power, it's the demonstrative, performative stuff that gives people an idea of your character and what you want and what's important to you. And so if you just go along with like, well, you know, we're just going to lay back, let them hurt themselves until it's our turn again. If you act like that, you're not going to get another turn.
No, I know. And the one thing is that they haven't even learned from the fact that if you go to what the Republicans did when they were not in power, that got them back to power. It's
blocked everything.
Exactly. You don't work with. They didn't work with Obama. They tried to block every single thing he tried to do, including all the way up to, you know, the fucking like
even when he was explicitly enacting policies that had been recommended by the Republicans a couple years earlier.
Right. They would go and vote against them right afterwards.
I mean, remember, Obamacare was based on Romney Care from Massachusetts. It was a Republican plan.
Right.
Anyway, yeah. So, like, seeing the Hunter Biden interview clips was honestly just refreshing. It's like, my God, like somebody who's willing to actually like say things and not be like parsing their words super carefully and blah, blah, blah. And look, he's not the only one. We've said good things about AOC before. We've said good things about Governor Walz before. There are a handful of others. You know, even what's his name from California is doing better than he was before on some of those things, although I still don't like him. But, you know, but the people, I don't know, this whole establishment guard that's still remnants of Clinton and Obama and Biden are just stuck in these old ways, and it's really frustrating.
Yeah, I know. Well, one other guy that has been doing that, who flipped the script on this, is also, you got to remember Newsom.
I said the guy in California.
Well, okay. I heard it differently. Okay, but all right. So you said, what's his name? Walz. I didn't hear. Okay.
Right. I mentioned Walz, and then I mentioned the guy in California whose name I can't remember, who is doing better than he was before.
Okay. Guy in California.
Okay. All right. Let's look at okay, no, that's,
I couldn't remember his name.
Okay, Newsom. Okay, Newsom. I'm bringing the name. All right, so
okay,
anything
what
else on that? Okay, so, all right, I picked that one. Now's your turn.
No. I did the whole first hour.
Oh,
the
wait,
whole
so
second
I gotta
hour
pick
is yours.
Everything? Oh,
you're, it's all you for the rest of the show.
All right, so let's talk about now. What about, okay, Trump visited the Fed. Did you see these clips?
Yes,
this?
I have seen a few clips. I've seen mainly the one clip of him and Powell going back and forth and Powell correcting him on when a certain building was built and all that. That's what you're talking about, right?
Well, that was one. I mean, it was just the whole thing. And actually, I did share a story about what's happened since he went over there. Because he went over there basically on this whole thing about inspecting the construction, blah, 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 and the project and whatever, because they're saying it's just a scam, blah, 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 because it's costing, I mean, it's an expensive project. It's costing $2.5 billion. It is well over budget, you know, the construction. But this stupid building is so old. It's 100 years old. It's a pain in my ass. And you know, his money isn't even coming out of the federal budget, because this money's coming out of the, you know, the money that the Federal Reserve makes. Period.
Okay. Yep.
We'll do this. So this money isn't even coming out of that. But the one thing that I saw was that apparently, after the whole thing, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, I'm not sure what Powell said to him, but all of a sudden he started saying all these flattering things about Powell, and it appears that what I read was that Powell went and started giving him compliments about the economy. Okay, and the thing is about Trump, we've seen historically, flattery gets you everywhere with it.
Everywhere.
It's just flatter him. And so apparently Powell, instead of being, he did correct him on the shit that he was reading wrong. The one stat that he said is because having Trump even had apparently a sheet of paper that he pulled out in the middle of the conversation. We're talking about how much the refurbished cost, and he's saying it's $3.1 billion. Powell's like saying, no, it's not that. And he was including cost of construction of another building that I completed years ago. Okay, all right?
Yeah,
it was like
during
$600
million. First term, it had finished.
Right, exactly. And so it's like, no, that's nothing. That's not in here. But then apparently he started just lobbing some compliments at him or whatever, and then all of a sudden he's been talking good about Powell. All of a sudden after the fucking visit, he started saying nice things about him. So I don't know. But and he said no, and I think, look, the Federal Reserve has said that once, you know, it becomes clear what the hell is going on, that they planned on cutting rates at some point. But look, the tariff, it's really dependent on these fucking tariffs. This is the main driver that's causing any, you know, hell, the Fed probably would have cut rates already if it wasn't for the damn tariffs. That's mm-hmm. just the reality. But the tariffs threw so much uncertainty into this. And and by the way, data is starting to show how this inflation is just seeping into places. Okay. Well, GM went and said, because that's the way it is. GM basically said the last quarter, tariffs cost $1.1 billion. Stellantis, which is, owns Chrysler, they said it cost them $2 billion. Okay. So the costs are mounting. And look, what is everybody think that the companies are going to become all of a sudden benevolent and like going to suck up all these losses? What do you think? You think they're not going to pass on these costs? I kept seeing this week also all these clips that people are sharing on TikTok and something, whatever, talking about how grocery prices are soaring, how people are getting really hammered with grocery prices, and talking about any supermarket, Walmart, people bitching about Publix in Florida, which I guess that happens a lot. But they're talking about that. And that's one of the key data points that, you know, Powell and the Fed have to consider. I don't know. I've been hearing about a lot of people talking about grocery prices soaring. I find it hard pressed to find data to back that up. Okay, at this point, I even looked at our grocery expenses for the last like 4 years. They're kind of like around the same average. We do buy groceries and buy house. Okay, you know, and cook. You know, the kitchen. I don't know if you're familiar with that process, but anyway,
the other members of my family are. I would ditch the kitchen in a second.
Okay. So just to try to clarify how that works. Anyway, because I went and I'm like, but listen, there are a lot of things that are showing pricing pressure, parts costs. Automakers are showing it. It's just seeping in all different places, but. But look, a lot of deals haven't been closed on this. We still don't have, as all the announcements that he did on tariff deals this week, everybody on the other side of the table keeps saying, well, we really didn't sign that or promise whatever the heck it was. As more information came out on the Japan deal, I don't know if you saw that the Japanese were basically almost like denying half the shit that he said. As usual with every fucking announcement that he makes. So we still got this clock ticking on this. But again, there are signs in a lot of different places. People are reporting this about groceries. I mean, I'll minimize it. Maybe it's just not stuff I bought. Okay? So there's a lot of people complaining about grocery prices going up. It may be that the kind of shopping that I do is not impacted by it, but there certainly are a lot of people that are saying that.
Or maybe there are regional differences or something going on.
Regional differences. Yeah. I can believe that too. That there are regional differences. Yeah. Because a lot of produce and a whole bunch of other stuff is sourced far more locally than remotely. So it could be that it could be the chain I buy where I buy the stuff. I don't know. There are a lot of people that are being very vocal about their grocery prices costs soaring. And, you know, this is the kind of shit that ate up Biden's administration.
Yeah.
I got to tell
people
you.
People wouldn't pay attention to anything else but eggs.
Yeah. It's just going to the supermarket and it's costing you 20, 30, 40% more. I mean, that really hits people hard. Very hard.
So I'm just bringing up eggprices.org national data just to check eggs specifically. And yet we're still nowhere near where we were in like March. The high in the last year was at the beginning of March, end of February, beginning of March. It was up to 817 a dozen at its high.
Wow.
It had gotten down as low as 252 a dozen.
Okay.
And even on July 4th, it was 256 a gallon still. not a gallon. You don't buy eggs in gallons. You know,
that would be interesting to buy the eggs in gallons. I mean, I guess you could just crack them all open, just bear, you know, put together a gallon of eggs.
Just in the last few weeks, since July 4th, it's gone from 256 to 337 in the last few weeks. You know, it's still, like I said, nowhere near where it was in March, but there is an upward swing in the last few weeks, and that's just eggs, obviously. But,
right. Well,
wait. They have a leader board and a lower board. You want to guess where in the country has the, those can't be current. Those are the highest high prices. That's stupid. Okay, I'm not even going to bother them.
Because
that's like back in March was the, no. It's not helpful. Damn it. Okay. Because it has like California is the highest. Virginia is the lowest prices, or no, South Dakota is the lowest prices of eggs. But these are clearly have to have been when the average was 8, not the current average. So whatever.
Okay. So two more things that I'm going to talk about after this. Number one, I'm just going to briefly mention it's net approval and Epstein. Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. So I recently checked and Trump's net approval is at the lowest of his administration. It had actually climbed back up a little bit, like for some reason after it had like collapsed like quickly at the beginning, and it climbed up a little bit, but then it is like taken a nosedive, and it's a nosedive across every area, whether it's the economy, the immigration, whatever subject you've got. Trump is underwater ratings wise across the board. There was one group that was like really like, I mean, that was really, well, it caught my eye, you know, young people. There was approval ratings like in February where it showed like he had like only like 22% disapproval amongst young people back in February for some reason. In the latest surveys, Trump, disapproval amongst young people, 70-something%. It went from 22%. It's up 50 points. His disapproval rating amongst young people. Okay. It's just a bonkers, you know, swing. But, well, I'm still bonkers that in February, like 22, he was only at 22% disapproval. I'm like, what the fuck were these people watching? What are they consuming? Where are they getting their information from? Because holy shit. But yeah, the swing has been hard.
One important thing to remember is just, and I mentioned this the other week, when we're talking about young people, you got to remember that a lot of them, his first term was before they were old enough to be paying attention to politics.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that most people, unlike you and me, before 18, which we were like junkies for this shit, okay? Even as teenagers, they have no fucking clue about what the fuck is going on. They couldn't care less. And I'm sure that in the first term, they knew nothing.
Right.
So,
we're talking, subtract 8 years. Someone who was 18 and just barely old enough to vote was 10.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, and okay, fine. A 20-year-old was 12, but still, you know.
Shit. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's like wondering
that's the beginning of his term, not the end of his term. So you subtract less to remember the end of his term.
Still.
Now,
anyway,
two things I will point out on the approval rating before we move on. One is I did find one chart that has the comparison to 8 years ago, to 2017. He is almost exactly at the same net approval as he was 8 years ago.
Basically, he is shitty the first term, and he's just as shitty now. It's not like he improved with age.
Yeah. At least as of, the chart I have of the comparison only goes through July 21st, but that's at The Economist. The other thing I'll note is Nate Silver's net approval graph actually has him bottoming out on July 22nd, and he's up a bit from there now.
Well, that's the last time I checked. Yeah, July 22nd. Oh, he climbed up a little bit? Okay.
Yeah, on July 22nd, he hit a new all-time low of negative 10.3%. He's now back up to negative 8.
What the fuck polls get? Wow, some of these garbage polls. Listen, every time that these guys see that it hits that low number, Sam, they do this dump of like these garbage polls, okay? All right, just to try to prop up the number. It's just clockwork.
All I have to say is let me remind you that last two election cycles for the general election, the polls that we flagged as the junk polls ended up getting it right.
Here's the thing though. The one guy that has been the most accurate that I kept thinking was crazy, but data has shown has been the most accurate. Has been Atlas Intel.
Yeah.
These guys
remember you spent quite a lot of time slagging on them.
Yeah. And then they turned out to be absolutely right. And so I'm going to give them credit and I, you know, eat my words about that. They still have negative 11%. Okay. And then all of a sudden you get Trafalgar, which, you know, at plus 2, RMG Research at plus 2. Which came out like right after he hit that bottom. All of a sudden, Trafalgar, who, by the way, has admitted directly that he puts his finger on the fucking polls, okay, came out. He said this himself as a plus 2. So that's why the average like bumped up. You got a couple of those guys coming in, and well, we gotta put some pressure on this. This is not looking good. We don't like these numbers. So.
Yes. Anyway. Yeah.
So.
Okay. Next. You said Epstein.
We're going to close it. Yeah. We got to talk about Epstein. We haven't talked about Epstein. And so, Sam, have we gotten the files?
No, we have not gotten the files. We did get this little drawing. That was since last episode, wasn't it? The little drawing from the book. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the entire Epstein thing. Dating back to,
we did talk about that last time. I don't know.
But look, the entire Epstein thing going back all the way to the 2000s. Oh, by the way, I did mention, you know, because he was able to get a plea deal in the 2000. I hate calling it the aughts. I don't want to call it that.
The aughts.
I can't.
The zeros.
I can't do it. The zeros,
the 20s.
I don't know. Anyway, I don't like any of those terms. I don't know. Anyway, I'm good with the 20s. The 20s sound good, but of course, the 20s, I keep thinking of the 1920s.
Whereas it's now.
It's now. Right. Okay. So look, the guys that started this entire conspiracy around Epstein and the client list and the pedophile ring and all of this other stuff and whatever. Well, I mean, Epstein is a documented pedophile with a, you know, that had a ring that basically trafficked people. Yeah. He is one guy that got arrested for this. Of course, he died all of a sudden. And so we did talk about, I believe, about the missing minutes.
Yes, we absolutely talked about that.
We talked about the missing minutes. But now, okay, this week, you know, Trump has been trying to deflect attention from anything related to Epstein. Tulsi comes out and basically accuses Obama of treason this week.
Which, by the way, let me just say, like, they've been going on about this study that showed there was no Russian interference in counting votes in the actual election machines and stuff like that, and showing how, well, they knew this, but then they did all this with Russian interference, intentionally conflating these two entirely different things. We all knew there was an investigation at the very beginning about like whether or not the actual mechanics of elections were interfered with, and the conclusion was no, and everybody agreed it was no, and all of the other investigations were not about that at all.
Right.
They were about influence operations and things like that.
They had nothing to do with nothing.
Two completely different things. go ahead. Anyway, but of course,
well, Tulsi Obama's has shown herself to be a very able tool for the Republicans, hasn't she?
Well, also, this was Tulsi getting back in Trump's good graces. She had been sort of on the outs for some of the things she'd said on Iran. And so she needed something to make him happy, and apparently it worked.
Yeah, apparently. You know, so that's, you know, so, but now, of course, you know, we've got the whole, you know, this whole thing to try to deflect attention from the Epstein files, which apparently, I guess we're never getting these, huh? I mean, I don't, you know, and then, so.
Well, look,
they went to interview, offered immunity. Here's the problem. The problem is that the ones that really were harping on this is a lie, this is a fraud, this is a conspiracy to hide the deep state, pedophile ring, blah, 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 were the QAnon right-wing Republicans in MAGA. These are the guys that loved this conspiracy, that believed it, and that pushed it, okay? That was their thing. Now, their guys are in power, the guy that was supposed to bring down the deep state to do all this stuff, and lo and behold, by the way, he's not releasing a damn thing. Then you've got the drumbeat of news where you've got the Wall Street Journal going and reporting, hey, number one, you know, we know that he was in the files. He already got told in May that he was in the files, okay? And then their second story that they released this week, which I can't remember exactly, but they had two stories that basically were, you know, torpedoing, you know, all the assertions that they were making. To the point that Trump is suing Rupert Murdoch over these stories, okay? Which is hilarious. But the drumbeat doesn't stop because they keep trying to deflect, you know, shuck and jive on this thing, but they don't release any of it.
Well, here's the thing. Like, the rational thing to say here, like, because I was going to say, they shouldn't actually probably release the files in their entirety, because the whole DOJ thing, right, is if you've got evidence and material, but it's not enough to actually charge somebody because you don't think you'd win a conviction, then that's supposed to stay secret because somebody doesn't have the opportunity to defend themselves in court. So you're just slandering people with evidence that you yourself admit isn't enough to convict them. Right.
Yeah, but they promised to release everything, Sam.
I know. But the other thing is,
listen, Pam Bondi sent out all.
I know.
Binders. Remember the damn binders. Yeah,
I remember the binders. But look, here's the thing: from Donald Trump's point of view, assuming there is in fact nothing in there that would convict him, the natural correct thing to do is, well, of course I'm in the files. I was his friend for 15 years. There's already public information of me and his address book and various things like that. We hung out together. I didn't know about his activities, and as soon as I found out about him, I dumped him. But of course I'm in the files because he knew me.
Okay.
End of story. not end of story, but the thing is, like, the key is, like, they're making a big deal out of he was in the files. We all knew that. We knew that for decades. You know, well, maybe not decades, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But listen.
Question is he incriminated on anything? And the problem is his behavior is 100% like, oh, it's not that just there's something innocuous in his files. Like, if there's something innocuous in his files that I've just mentioned Donald Trump, then of course he could say something like what I said. But okay, if what's okay, in
Sam,
there
Sam,
looks
Sam,
bad,
if all of this is so innocent,
story.
Then why the hell did somebody go to go and, like, interview Ghislaine Maxwell and give her immunity and go her questions for two fucking days?
What the hell is going on? Yes. So here is what's going on right now. They gave some form of immunity, probably limited immunity for anything she mentions during her conversations, in order to talk about 100 specific people they wanted to ask about. Now, here's the thing. If there's no list, where exactly did this 100 people come from? Now, of course, they were saying there's no client list. This list could be something else or generated from anyway, but, you know, and so the question, like the speculation, and I'm going to say there's no proof of any of this. This is all speculation. The speculation is they are offering Maxwell a deal in the hopes that she will incriminate a whole bunch of Democrats the way the conspiracy theory has always wanted, while not saying a damn thing about Trump, or even better, specifically saying Trump was never involved, or any other Republicans for that matter. So we can come out of here with a list
well,
of...
Well, by the way, okay, wait, but yes? You understand that I heard that she's the man that can pardon.
Well, her lawyer said they would be very interested in a pardon, but so far she's only gotten some immunity. Now, immunity is a lot. Like,
well, no, she's in jail. Listen,
no, I know she's already in jail.
She's been jail for 20 fucking years, Sam. Damn.
I know.
If I'm in jail for 20 fucking years and I've had to deal with people like in these situations, okay? The fuck am I getting for fucking immunity? Well, wait, because me to help you and I'm not getting shit.
Well, because the other thing is, presumably,
you're not going to put me in jail for another 20 fucking years.
Here's the thing with Maxwell, too. She repeatedly, over and over and over again, refused plea deals earlier.
Right.
Because she maintained her 100% innocence from beginning to end of this process. She was still maintaining her innocence right now, as far as I am aware.
So then how the hell would she have any incriminating evidence if she's so fucking innocent? This is the whole, this is what I don't understand about this whole fucking thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the question, obviously, right? Like, is she now admitting that she was actually involved in stuff? Or at the very least, new stuff that she could have told authorities. Now, depending on her situation, she might be able to claim that she knew stuff, but was not involved and was in danger of her own life. So she couldn't cooperate, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. It's all speculation at this point. And sort of the question is like, well, what's actually going on? What kind of deal are they offering her? Now, frankly, if Trump pardons her, what's the base really going to think about that? Now, if Trump pardons her, I mean, listen,
I think the world's brain is going to explode.
Well, here's the thing. Like, his base might be okay with that trade as long as it comes with serious implications for a whole bunch of prominent Democrats. Like, if the deal was, say, Bill Clinton was there fucking babies, and she provides a little bit of evidence that shows that, oh yeah, maybe Bill Clinton was, maybe not babies, you know what I mean. Then, you know, if she can deliver Bill Clinton's head on a platter,
listen,
a lot of the base might be fine with that trade.
Listen, if the files in any way, shape, or form had that in them already, what the you think that this wouldn't have already leaked, been given? This is my whole thing. If this was what was in there, they would already burned every fucking Democrat in that list. They would already burn him down.
Because they had a chance already in his first.
Yes. Yeah.
And if Trump was in it, the Biden administration had a chance, right? Now, here's the thing, and I said this last week, and I said this last week before. What I think is the reality is that all of this stuff probably has a lot of stuff that just isn't quite solid enough. It might look bad, but it's not solid enough to prove a damn thing. Now, her testimony might be something that pushed something over the edge, where you take some fuzzy picture and she's like, yeah, that really was Bill Clinton. You know, I don't know. Now, here's the other thing.
But here's the thing. Look, any deal that she makes right now is going to be so tainted so badly.
Oh, yeah. I from a legal point of view, the question is...
From a legal point of view.
I think at this point, like, if they had stuff that could result in actual convictions, I agree with you completely. I think it would have been
used
by... But
if they had stuff that just could have been an insinuation, why wouldn't they have used it already? That's my point.
That's the thing. Well, the Democrats, here's the thing. In Trump's last term, there were still people in charge that thought that was wrong to
right
do.
Now. But
no,
right
I know.
Now.
Yeah, no.
Right well, now. What's stopping them right now? There's nothing stopping them right now.
The only thing that must be stopping them is that there really is something about Trump in there, too.
Yeah. That's it. There's just
and you know, people
and there's
people
no can, way to and there's no way to fucking like, you know,
disentangle it.
Exactly.
It was Trump and Clinton together with the underage girls.
Right.
All it was a menage a trois, Trump, Clinton, underage girl sandwich.
There you go.
That must be it.
Oh God.
No, look. And here's the thing, too. Like, I keep seeing videos of online of sort of people talking about Republicans being like, "Well, why are you Democrats so hot on releasing it? What if Bill Clinton's in it?" And of course, all the Democrats are like the same answer we give all the time: if any prominent Democrats are in it, and you can show that they were definitely involved, nail them to the fucking wall.
Right.
They deserve everything that's coming to them.
They get, yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. We no sacred cows. Like, you know, it doesn't matter who the Democrat is. If they were involved in Epstein's little playground with, you know, underage girls who were, even if they were completely voluntary, right? They're underage, they can't consent. But there's lots of evidence it wasn't completely voluntary. They were being trafficked, they were being drugged, they were being all kinds of stuff. This is a completely evil situation.
Yeah.
If there are any prominent Democrats in it, I don't care who they are or what their history is, nail them.
Nail them to the wall.
Absolutely.
All right, well, listen, I got to wrap it up. Okay. So let's wrap this thing up. Okay, so I don't know. End credits.
You're gonna do the end credits this time? Go for it.
No, I'm not mentally prepared for that. I'm mentally preparing myself to find my assignment for the end.
Okay, well, I will do the rest while you find that. Go to curmudgeons-corner.com. You can find all our information. You can find transcripts of our shows. You can find our archives with all the old shows. You can find all the ways to contact us. We love to be contacted. I will mention that I have neglected to post on TikTok for like several weeks now. This week I was going to catch up, but then I was sick. Yeah, I'll probably catch up at some point. I could just skip some episodes, but I figure I should actually catch up and post things from those old episodes. I don't know. Eventually I'll catch up. And of course, there is a link to our Patreon where you can give us money. And at various levels on the Patreon, we will send you a postcard, which, by the way, I have filled out, I've finished my part of the postcards. I have sent the postcards that are owed to Yvonne. I put them in the mailbox like yesterday or today or something. And so they are on the way to Yvonne, at which point Yvonne has to answer his bit and then actually send them out to the due recipients. I also finally got, I ordered the mug for Todd, who co-hosted a while ago. So my part of everything I owe for the Curmudgeon's Corner bonus gifts is done for the moment. But yeah, for various levels on the Patreon, we will give you a postcard, we will give you a mug, we will ring bells, we will mention you on the show, all of this kind of stuff. It's lots of fun. And importantly, oh, and you also get a mug if you actually co-host the show. So anybody out there, you know. And then, yeah, at $2 a month or more, or if you just ask, you will be invited to the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, where Yvonne and I and a bunch of listeners spend the week chatting with each other, sharing links, talking about the news, talking about whatever. As it was mentioned, I talked all about what happened to my car on the Slack. I talked about being sick on the Slack, which of course means most of our loyal listeners, the whole first half of the show was a retread. Sorry, guys. Oh, well. Anyway, but so Yvonne, what is one highlight from the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack this week that we have not mentioned on the show?
An American, anti-woke dad who fled with family to Russia, sent to war zone. An American father who moved to Russia to avoid LGBTQ+ indoctrination for his kids is being sent to the front line in Ukraine despite being assured he would serve in a non-combat role. Derek Hoffman, 46, feels he's being thrown to the wolves and being told that his job in the military would be as a correspondent or as a welder, his wife Deanna said in a recorded interview. Sam, Are we feeling sad for the anti-woke dad who decided to move to Russia and to join the military and is now being sent to the front line in Ukraine? Any tears you got for him?
I have a hard time generating those tears. And the other thing is, this is not the first one of these stories I have read about people who've gone to Russia to escape the horrible United States, you know, woke mind virus and end up discovering that things are actually pretty bad for them there.
Yeah, no shit, people, huh? So Russia kind of sucks? Film at 11. Let me tell you something. I went to Moscow, and let me tell you something. I realized very quickly, I don't want to fucking live here.
I saw one a few weeks ago for somebody who did the exact same thing, but they weren't white. Yeah. And then it talked about how, oh my God, it was so racist there. And they had such a horrible time that because no one would treat them well because they weren't white.
Right.
You know, and
like literally no one.
They figured that stuff would be better there than here. I mean, I'm not saying it's great here, but
it's not like that.
And yeah, and there was another religious family that went there.
And I've mentioned to you how sometimes, you know, because we talk about racism openly, and we got over here that sometimes we're oblivious to how bad the racism is over and bad in other places, that even places that criticize the U.S. And yeah, it is like that. Yes, in many places.
Yeah. I mean, it varies highly based on where you're talking about. But, you know, as bad as some things sometimes seem here and as much as they seem to be getting worse recently, there are lots of places in the world that are a lot worse. For racial minorities, for religious minorities, for LGBTQ people. You know, we're not perfect. We're not great. There are lots of things we could do better, and we are backsliding these last few years, but there are lots of places.
There's a lot of places that is much worse. So anyway, all right. So that's
it. So, you know, there's so many stories of MAGA types that are getting the consequences of their choice. And this guy who went to Russia, who's getting the consequences of his choice. And, you know, at some point there is the, oh man, it's sad that they were stupid, but, oh, come on. No,
I mean, you know,
you should have known better. I'm sorry. Now, I have seen another flavor of this, of people who are actually actively apologizing for their previous support of MAGA and saying, you know, I'm sorry I was slow. I'm sorry I was stupid. But now I realize what a big mistake I've made, and I'm going to work to, I don't know, make up for it. I don't know. And on one side, I'm like, too fucking late, asshole. But at the same time, I'm like, at a certain point, once people admit they're a mistake and are actively working to do better, okay. Now I can let you back into the fold.
Yeah. You gotta give them some. I mean, you need to receive them. I mean, you can't just reject those people that are openly admitting that they fucked up and they were wrong.
As long as you are defending your previous choices, I'm sorry. Fuck you. But if you are genuinely acknowledge that you screwed up and you did wrong and you're starting to understand why you did wrong and you're apologizing for it,
I'm good with that. I'm.
And they don't have to be like an AOC, like progressive either.
No.
They can actually still, I've always been fine with the Never Trumpers, you know?
Yeah,
there is a such thing as a principled conservative who I disagree with on lots of stuff, but isn't evil.
Right. Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. Okay, I think that's it, Mr. Bo. It's time to hit the closing music. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. As usual, stay safe. Have fun. Not too much fun. You know, have a good whatever. Like, this is there's no holiday. There's nothing special going on this week, I don't think, right?
You know, not maybe here. Puerto Rico actually has a holiday on Friday and a holiday on Monday.
Oh, well, there you go. Is that where you are now, Mr. Bo?
No, I'm in Orlando again.
Oh, you're in Orlando. Okay. Yeah, I was wondering because you clearly weren't at home.
Yeah, no.
Okay. There must be some like special Mickey Mouse holiday.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, no, it's school is starting like soon, so therefore,
back to Disney.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, have a good time. Have a safe time, and we'll see you next time. I said time a lot. We'll see you again. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, that's it. Hitting stop.
All right.
Have a good week, Mr. Bo. Bye.
All right. Bye. All right. Hit stop.